Yeah, boy, it is week 7, and you guys are fantasy football lovers, which means you should download the Draft app on your phone if you haven't already. It's awesome. It's daily fantasy or one-week fantasy, whatever you call it, but it's a snake draft. It's not a salary cap deal. You're still playing for cold hard cash, and you actually have an 80% better chance of winning than on the salary cap site. So you can get going for week 7 right now. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. You just have to use the promo code FEAST. That's right, you're playing for a real money game for free just by using our promo code FEAST. Gets even better, by the way. They really want you to try it, and they know you're going to like it, because if you don't, they're giving you guys a money-back guarantee up to $100. Think about that. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week 7 in the NFL, and thus week 7 of the regular season Fantasy Feast podcast. We are year-round, so for those of you that are total studs and listen year-round, we appreciate that. That's how you really get the edge. But we're also getting the edge each and every week thanks to this guy over here named Evan Silva. Big time in me this week going on with Adam Schefter. Just remember where your bread is buttered, my friend. On the Fantasy Feast, that's where. Get it, feast, bread, buttered. Hilarious. You are on Twitter, at Evan Silva. And I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, the former NFL offensive lineman. We're presented by betonline.ag. That's the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast, with the best odds and the fastest payouts. You also, by the way, I should just note this. Those of you that like to play Madden or you like video games, I'm giving out another free Madden this week. Just download the SeatGeek app on your phone. Put the code Ross in the settings tab. You don't even have to make a purchase. Forward that to me, Ross at RossTucker.com, and you'll be automatically entered for the Madden that I announce on Mondays on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Other than that, as they say, without further ado, let's do it. All right, Evan, let's start with the Thursday night game. It's the Chiefs and the Raiders. The Chiefs actually, their offense actually got slowed down for the first time by the Steelers on Sunday. And the Raiders, man, what has gotten in the Raiders' offense?
Yeah, I think that this is first of all, the total on this game is pretty high, 47 points. I think that when people usually look at games like this, they think that they are going to be low scoring. And look, maybe it will be, you know, but I think that it's going to be, for me, I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring than people anticipate. The Raiders defense, 4 of the 6 quarterbacks to face them have posted top 15 fantasy weeks. The Raiders have allowed the second highest passer rating in the NFL. They are 29th in pass defense DVOA. The Chiefs offense was not what we had come to expect in the first 5 games in last week's loss to Pittsburgh, but Alex Smith was still the quarterback 11 on the week, and he has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 5 of 6 starts. So I think that you're sticking with him. Kareem Hunt, 6 straight games of 100-plus all-purpose yards. His outlook is improved with Sharkandrick West not expected to play due to a concussion. The Raiders' run defense has allowed the 6th most rushing yards in the NFL and also the 5th most receiving yards. Kareem Hunt, of course, leads the NFL in rushing yards and is 5th in receiving yards. I think that Travis Kelce should really crush in this matchup. I was big on Hunter Henry last week in Daily Fantasy, and he paid off 5 catches for 90 yards against this Raiders defense. Delanie Walker also had 7 for 76 against this Raiders defense. A.J. Derby went off against him. Vernon Davis went off against him. Travis Kelce coming off a slow week. Major bounce back spot for him. Tyreek Hill, he's been up and down, but I have noticed, and I mean, this is small sample variance for sure, but it's still maybe the beginning of a short-term trend that we can kind of get out in front of, that Tyreek Hill's, he has been much better in road games this year. He's been the wide receiver 3 on the week, the wide receiver 17 on the week, and the wide receiver 14 on the week in road games, whereas he has not finished in the top 40 fantasy receivers in 3 games at home. He, of course, is on the road here. And then DeMarcus Robinson played 91% of the Chiefs' offensive snaps. He only saw 5 targets last week, but he is going to be the guy who sees the biggest bump in place of Chris Conley, who tore his Achilles a couple of weeks ago. DeAnthony Thomas actually outscored him in fantasy, but that's not something to chase. He scored a 57-yard touchdown off an improvisational play by Alex Smith. It was just a great play by Alex Smith, and DeAnthony Thomas happened to be on the receiving end. So DeMarcus Robinson, if you want to throw a dart, you know, you're on a short slate playing DFS, or you need a pickup in a deeper league, DeMarcus Robinson is your guy, not DeAnthony Thomas. Derek Carr has really not played well, and he is really tentative right now. I would guess that it is in large part due to the fact that he has multiple transverse processes, fractures in his back. With that said, this is a good matchup. I mean, the Chiefs have allowed the 12th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've allowed the NFL's 8th most passing yards. And in 5 of their last 6 road games, the Chiefs have given up 27 or more points. So Derek Carr is an individual player right now. I mean, he's been the quarterback 30, quarterback 25, quarterback 24 over his last 3 starts. He's very hard to trust from that standpoint. But if you're looking at this matchup, this is a better matchup than people may think against the Chiefs. Marshawn Lynch is a touchdown-dependent player. He has handled 13 touches or fewer in 5 straight games. We have to stop expecting the Raiders to all of a sudden try to feature him on the ground. It's just, it's not happening. And he's been a pretty major fantasy bust, as we were, you know, we kind of predicted before the season. I think that Amari Cooper, this is another opportunity for Amari Cooper to bounce back. And I know we've said that a couple of times this year. He's off to a slow start. You know, his quarterback has not played well and has missed time. He's had really bad matchups. I mean, the Chargers know how good Amari Cooper is, because last week, guess what? They shadowed him with Casey Hayward, not Michael Crabtree. Amari Cooper still wound up with 5 catches. He lost a 31-yard deep ball due to a penalty on right guard Gabe Jackson. It's gonna come for Amari Cooper. It's just a matter of when. And, you know, he has to be treated as a boom or bust play at this point. Michael Crabtree, his 4 stat lines against the Chiefs since signing with the Raiders are 4 catches for 21, 2 catches for 10, 3 catches for 34, and 5 catches for 45. He did score a touchdown in 2 of those games. That's what you're hoping for from him on the season. Michael Crabtree has scored a touchdown and or cleared 80 yards in all 4 of his healthy games this year. He's going to run the most routes in the Raiders receiver core at Marcus Peters, but Marcus Peters has been giving up touchdowns. And Michael Crabtree also gets 50% of his routes elsewhere on the field. So he's not only going to run routes at Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters, of course, is a left cornerback only, never moves. Don't want much to do with Jared Cook. Hasn't reached 60 yards yet in a game this year. Only has 1 target inside the 10-yard line, not featured in the red zone. Chiefs are allowing the 6th fewest fantasy points to tight end. So look elsewhere for streamers.
Got it. I love it. All right, let's get to some of the Sunday 1 o'clock games. The Bucks really didn't get it going until they brought in the Ivy Leaguer on Sunday offensively. Yeah. And then the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, they're coming off a bye. What interests you in this game? What are the important names to hit on here?
I think this is a blow-up spot for LeSean McCoy. The Bucks, over their last 2 games, I had viewed them as a pass funnel defense, but we also need to be out in front of smaller trends that occur over the course of the season, because there are seasons inside of a season. And over the Bucks' past 2 games, they've given up 5.2 yards per carry to opposing running backs. They resurrected Adrian Peterson last week, although Adrian Peterson deserves the credit for that. But still, I mean, they got gashed on the ground, and now they are going, they're going from a game where they played in Arizona to Buffalo. That's a long travel. Buffalo is always a very difficult place to play. We talk about that incessantly, and that we're, you know, we are right much more often than not when we are discussing, them that way. I think that LeSean McCoy, especially with no receivers for Tyrod Taylor to throw to right now, LeSean McCoy is one of my favorite daily fantasy plays on the week. I think he correlates really well with the Bills' defense slash special teams, which you can certainly use against Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you can also use them against Jameis Winston. We don't really know who's going to play yet. Jameis says it'll be him, et cetera. That's something that we will find out later in the week. Either way, the Bills' defense is a good play. I also like Tyrod Taylor. Despite his shortage of weapons, dude really hasn't had great weapons anyway. And since the beginning of last season, he's thrown 16 of his 23 touchdown passes in home games. That's 70%. While the Bucs' pass defense has given up top 6 weeks to Case Keenum, Eli Manning, and Carson Palmer in three of its last four games. The Bucs are allowing the third highest completion rate in the league and the fourth highest passer rating. So Tyrod Taylor, despite what looks like a really ugly situation for him on paper in terms of his pass catcher core, I really, really like him as a daily fantasy and season-long streamer this week. The only guy in the Bills pass catcher core I might look at would be Nick O'Leary. He caught, I think it was like five for 54 in the Bills' last game when Charles Clay left early with that knee injury. Jordan Matthews out again, Charles Clay out again. The Bucs are a little bit harder to talk about because we don't know who their quarterback is going to be. I will say that Cameron Brate has been a monster. He has scored a touchdown in seven of his last nine games. His playing time has actually risen over the course of the season. They need him. I think that DeSean Jackson has the better matchup of the Buccaneers receivers this week, but that's not to say anything negative against Mike Evans, but that rookie Tre'Davious White has been outstanding as the Bills and the top corner. They are using him to shadow opposing number one receivers. The Bills have only given up two touchdown passes through five games. So that takes care of those teams. Oh, I should mention Doug Martin. I'm sorry. Doug Martin again looked good. He just got hurt by game flow last week. I mean, when you're a running back on a team that falls behind 31-0 early, you're not going to be in a good situation. And the Bills have shown signs of being a run funnel defense, giving up 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs, and they've been much stronger against the pass. So Doug Martin, I think, is a solid RB2 play this week.
Let's do it. I love it. I was hoping you'd mention something about Martin. What about the Panthers and the Bears? Your boy Jordan Howard had a day against the Ravens. What do you think about him at home against the Bears, against the Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, an ideal matchup, but they have really committed to this ground and pound philosophy, which is smart, with a rookie quarterback who has no weapons on the outside. Jordan Howard has 19 or more touches, four straight games. The Panthers, I think they're going to be without Luke Kuechly. Again, we record this on Wednesday mornings, and we don't know if he's going to pass the concussion protocol, but that would obviously help Jordan Howard's fantasy outlook. But he's good to go every week. He's not being used in the passing game at all, really. But, he's the offensive foundation for the Bears. Benny Cunningham, it's funny, we have to talk about this guy every week. So he plays one snap last week. He leaves with a hamstring injury, and Tarik Cohen comes back to life, 15 touches, plays 33% of the snaps, throws a touchdown pass to Zach Miller. It really matters whether or not Benny Cunningham is in the lineup for Tarik Cohen. I know that that sounds really silly, but it's a fact that we're dealt with. And we dealt with it, of course, last year with Todd Gurley. But I think that Tarik Cohen is back in the mix, assuming Benny Cunningham doesn't play, and I don't think he will. Tarik Cohen is back in the mix as a flex play in PPR leagues. The Panthers have allowed the NFL's third most catches to running backs. No Bears pass catcher stand out. I would also say that the Panthers pass catchers do not really stand out, but with Cam getting it going, and I think that the general consensus was that Cam Newton did not play well last Thursday night against the Eagles. He was still good in fantasy. He was the number seven fantasy quarterback on the week. He's been a top seven fantasy quarterback in three straight games. The Bears play underrated pass defense for sure. They've held four of six quarterbacks they've faced to fantasy results of quarterback 18 or below. Cam Newton is running again. That is absolutely critical for his fantasy value over his last three games, averaging almost nine rushing attempts per game. He scored a rushing touchdown in three of his last four, set a season high with 71 rushing yards against the Eagles. So he is going to be great in fantasy and is matchup proof as long as he is rushing. Christian McCaffrey hasn't reached 15 touches since week one, but he leads all NFL running backs in targets and catches. Only Chris Thompson has more receiving yards than Christian McCaffrey. So that is going to really boost his floor. He's not going to be a major upside play unless Jonathan Stewart gets hurt. But I would feel very confident rolling him out there every week. Lower expectations. I mean, you can't have super high expectations, but he's not a guy who is going to hurt you, certainly. And you just start him every single week. Jonathan Stewart has 17 yards on 26 carries over his last two games. The Bears are about a middle of the road run defense, allowing 4 yards per carry, even to opposing running backs. 19th in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. Jonathan Stewart, the story is always the same with him. You need a touchdown or else he's going to hurt you. Devin Funchess disappointed against the Eagles, but he saw nine more targets. And now over the past 4 weeks, since Greg Olsen went out, Devin Funchess has 10, 9, 8, and 9 targets. So that's a guy that you want to keep betting on. He's going, he's not a great player, but because he's getting this usage, he's going to be useful in fantasy, gets a lot of looks down in scoring position. Kelvin Benjamin has topped 75 yards and or scored a touchdown in each of his last four healthy games. He should be teed up confidently. Ed Dixon's targets have risen every game, 1, 4, 5, 8 in order over the Panthers' last four games. And the Bears have started to show some vulnerability to tight ends. They're missing Jarrell Freeman. They're missing Quentin Demps. They gave up Kyle Rudolph's season-best game in Week 5, and they gave up 9 catches to Ravens tight ends last week. And we can move on to the next one.
Well, you didn't talk about Bears receivers. Thank goodness, because I did the Bears-Ravens game on Sunday, and that was the worst combined receiver performance I've ever seen. My brother-in-law came with me. We've never seen an NFL game with less receivers actually getting open. It was unbelievable. So I'm glad you didn't mention it. Let's go to Titans and the Browns. DeShone Kizer just got announced right before we started recording. Kizer Sose is back. And everything is good. Everything's fixed. Start him if you got him for Cleveland skill guys, right?
Because we had uncertainty with the quarterback situation, I haven't even really looked at this game yet. It seems like the Titans are really committed to this running back by committee. That is, although both paid dividends last week, that is going to create, from a forward-thinking standpoint, less consistency and lowered ceilings for DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. With that said, I'm still starting DeMarco Murray where I have him, and Derrick Henry is a fine flex play against the Browns. Mariota, I think they kick so many field goals, I'm in this FFPC high-stakes league, and the team, so we are tied for first, but the team that we are trying to catch in terms of points scored, he had Ryan Succop on his team, and this dude scored like 25 fantasy points because they just kick so many field goals. But I would expect, Marcus Mariota, we can tell ourselves a story how maybe he won't work out because he's on a short week with the hamstring injury. He certainly wasn't perfect against Indianapolis, but by and large, starting quarterbacks against the Browns is going to pay off. That's the definitely the case with Delanie Walker. Rishard Matthews, I think, so we talked last week a little bit about how Jason McCourty had really come on for the Browns, and he limited A.J. Green below 60 yards a couple of weeks ago. Last week he shadowed DeAndre Hopkins, held him to 2 catches on 4 targets. And no, it was that was not just because the Texans won in a blowout. It was Deshaun Watson still had 29 pass attempts. It was because the other dudes were making plays in the Texans offense because Jason McCourty had a shadow on DeAndre Hopkins. So he's a guy that we should start talking about. I mean, I'm not, you know, again, like we talked about last week, I'm not playing DeAndre Hopkins because of Jason McCourty, and I still feel pretty good about Rishard Matthews as like a wide receiver 3, even though I think that Jason McCourty could chase him. But he's a guy that I think we should start to talk about because we want to try to make the best decisions, and we want to have as much information as possible in order to better our decision-making processes. So I don't know what to say about Cleveland right now. I just haven't looked at them enough, but we touched on pretty much everything for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland, you know, who knows at this point, man, really. Mm-hmm. I just
I don't know why they're not playing David Njoku. I mean, he played season-low 39% of the snaps last week. It's almost like they're trying to tank again. They proactively create gaps in their own defense by playing the safeties 30 yards off the line of scrimmage. They're not playing their young stud tight end. I don't get it. You know, how does Rashard Higgins play 80% of the snaps and David Njoku only plays 39%? You can use David Njoku at slot receiver. It's not that hard.
Well, what's interesting to me about it too, Evan, and you should listen to tomorrow's Ross Tucker Football podcast, because I was talking to Greg Cosell, and he told me that, you know, Deshaun Watson played pretty well last week, but it was really more just busts and mistakes by the Browns defense than it was Watson really playing all that great. Let's move on to New Orleans and Green Bay. It's at Lambeau. I will be there eating my face off. But the most interesting topic here is obviously Brett Hundley being the quarterback for the Packers. What that, you know, what his status is and what that means for the other guys on the team.
So the Saints defense has started to get a lot of respect, and I think that we are approaching a situation where they're getting too much respect. They had a big, like, this just the Saints fantasy defense was good last week, and I mean, I certainly think that they're improved from years past, but I think that they're still a defense to attack. They've allowed the NFL's 5th most yards per pass attempt, 7th highest completion rate. 3 of 5 quarterbacks to face the Saints have finished among the top 8 quarterbacks on the week. The Saints have allowed the 5th most passing yards per game. Only 8 teams have allowed more fantasy points per game to quarterbacks than the Saints. So I think that this is a good spot to stream Brett Hundley. If you need quarterback help, I'm going to be looking at him in daily fantasy this week. I think I'm going to lean toward Tyrod Taylor. Haven't made any decisions yet. Had to watch my boy Jason Tatum play some hoops last night, so wasn't as in tune to daily fantasy as I usually am on Tuesday nights. But, you know, these are guys that I'm definitely looking at. Brett Hundley, he's played 3 years at UCLA, scored 30 rushing touchdowns in those 3 years. In the preseason, in his career, 10-2 touchdown interception ratio with 2 rushing scores. He did not look good last week against Minnesota, although I thought he got better just the more he was in there and the more he played. That was an impossible spot. Coming off the bench cold at Minnesota, I would completely throw that out. If he doesn't look good again this week, then, you know, we can start to talk about it. But I think that he's going to be a fun player. I also think that the Packers are going to try to lean more on the running game. But, you know, they've got a committee in the backfield. And Aaron Jones was the leader last week. He out-touched Ty Montgomery 14-11, out-snapped him 65% to 30%. these guys are just like flex plays at this point. I think that it will probably be a little bit more close to even. The Saints, again, you know, they have not been very good in run defense, allowing 4.3 yards per carry to opposing running backs. That is bottom 12 in football, and the allowing the third most receiving yards to the position. So Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, they're okay, not great fantasy plays. As is usually the case, when a backup quarterback comes in, the pass catchers in the offense are going to be more volatile and less easy to predict on a weekly basis. I think it is worth noting that after Brett Hundley came in to last week's game, he targeted Davante Adams a team-high 10 times. Jordy Nelson was second with 9 targets on the team. And then you get down to Aaron Jones, 4, Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, 3, Martellus Bennett, 1. Martellus Bennett is not a player I would be looking to start this week. I would even consider starting Nick O'Leary over Martellus Bennett this week. Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson, I'm just looking at them as fantasy starters in season-long leagues, but boom or bust guys that I don't think that we are going to be able to trust consistently. The Saints' running game came alive without Adrian Peterson. You know what's cool is that trade benefited both teams, and that's really how trade should be. In fantasy, in real life, the trades really should benefit, should help both teams. It shouldn't be like, oh, you know, we're ripping off the other guy. It should be you're making these moves in order to help yourself, and each person on each side of the trade believes that. And in an ideal world, that's exactly what would happen, and that's exactly what happened with the Saints. Mark Ingram, 30 touches, explodes 66% of the snaps. He is now 7th in the NFL in carries inside the 10-yard line, 6th in carries inside the 5, top 15 among all running backs in receptions. Awesome play against the Packers. Packers are 18th in run defense DVOA. Alvin Kamara was not as big, but he did see 14 touches, 44% of the snaps. I think he will get 13 to 16 touches per game going forward. Green Bay gave up 5 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown in the air to Jerick McKinnon last week. And, Alvin Kamara to me is an every week fantasy starter. The Packers have done pretty well limiting opposing quarterback production. But it's Drew Brees, and this game has a pretty high total, so I'm not really getting too cute there. I think that Michael Thomas should go off against the Packers. The Packers gave up 10 for 11 and a touchdown to A.J. Green, 5 for 108 to Julio Jones, 9 for 97 to Adam Thielen, 5 for 52 and a touchdown to Dez Bryant, Kendall Wright, Cole Beasley. Both had a couple of their best games of the season against the Packers. So I think that Michael Thomas, awesome play. He's led the Saints in targets in all 5 of their games. The rest of the Saints pass catchers, and I did the same thing last week, and it did largely pay off, although Ted Ginn had a good fantasy game, and he almost had 2 touchdowns. But I'm going to kind of just try to ignore this, the rest of the guys, because Willie Snead is in there. He comes back last week. He only played 30% of the snaps, but it cut into Brandon Coleman. He only played 37%. Ted Ginn, even though he had a good fantasy game, only played 52%. Kobe Fleener only played 25%. So just none of those Saints pass catchers. I think we will get to a point where we can view them as somewhat trustworthy, but we are not to that point yet. And that takes care of that game.
Love it. Bang. Jacksonville, Indianapolis. What do you got?
So Blake Bortles, he has been a bottom, or he is not, he's failed to finish inside the top 18 fantasy quarterbacks in 5 of his 6 starts. Just doesn't get enough volume, and when he does get volume, he isn't good. He's also on pace for a career low 45 rushing attempts, which during his quote-unquote fantasy football prime, Blake Bortles, he ran the ball a lot. And that was actually a sneaky way that he stayed consistent. And that's just, the offense has changed. Leonard Fournette leaves last week's game with an ankle injury. He gave fantasy players a really good game before that, thankfully. But I think it's a reminder that Chris Ivory is worth stashing in fantasy football in 12 and 14 team leagues, and that Corey Grant in deeper formats is also worth a look. Leonard Fournette has chronic ankle issues. He dealt with it in the preseason, dealt with it last week, dealt with it repeatedly at LSU. I mean, I remember watching games of him at LSU where he was playing through this ankle injury, and I was like, why do people think that this guy's a good prospect? And then, you know, was able to watch other games where he was healthy and was like, okay. He is expected to be good to go. And we saw what Titans running backs did to the Colts last week. 5.5 yards per carry, 171 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. That was certainly propped up by that long run by Derrick Henry. What a madman he is on that final play, essentially. I think that this is a fine matchup for Leonard Fournette for sure. Marquise Lee is the only guy to really look at in the Jacksonville pass catcher core. At this point, he's topped 60 yards in 3 of his last 5 games. Colts have given up the 5th most receptions and 3rd most yards to opposing wide receivers. Not excited to play Marquise Lee, but definitely not a bad play. And, you know, we've got teams on buys, et cetera. Guys are hurt. And Marquise Lee in a lot of leagues is going to be a starter. For the Colts, we know the deal with the Jacksonville defense very well by now. Jacoby Brissett has been a top 15 fantasy quarterback in 3 of his last 5 games, but you do not want to use any quarterbacks against the Jags. The Jags are a run funnel, and they have allowed, and they resumed getting gashed on the ground last week after Le'Veon Bell, you know, was like given the week off the week before the Steelers. Welcomed that L. Last week, the Rams did exactly what they should have done, and they pounded Todd Gurley, and Malcolm Brown even gave him some nice runs, and the Jaguars are giving up 5.4 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Robert Turbin's injury is more significant than I think people may realize. He was playing 33% of the Colts' running back snaps, getting 5.3 touches per game. He was 2nd on the team in red zone carries. So that opens up a lot for Marlon Mack. You know, I've been kind of like hesitant on Marlon Mack, and we saw last week why, because he can just vanish for a while. I mean, he has a 22-yard run, and he finishes the game with 18 yards. You know, that's Marlon Mack. But this is the week to really look at him. Great matchup. His usage will be up, and I also think that Frank Gore is a little bit underrated this week. I would be concerned about T.Y. Hilton, you know, facing Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. That's going to be a tough go. Jack Doyle, I think, you know, he came back from that concussion. I think he's a fine play against the Jags. Don't want anything to do with any of the other Colts receivers, and that takes care of that game.
Bang. I love it. How about Arizona and L.A.? They're playing across the pond in London. Let's start with the Cards. And Adrian Peterson. I mean, what a roller coaster this season has been. Not really. Actually, it's just been a terrible roller coaster for Adrian Peterson owners until Sunday for those that still had held on to him.
Yeah, and he wound up being one of my highest owned. I can say this now without being embarrassed. He wound up being one of my highest owned running backs in best ball leagues. I mean, I was just hammering him in like the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th rounds. And now I cannot be embarrassed, you know, for the short term. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't start him anywhere, and I have him in a few leagues. I will be starting him this week. The Rams do not have a very good run defense. We saw exactly what we wanted to see from Adrian Peterson. You know, it's one of these situations where I don't kick myself for not starting Adrian Peterson. I mean, There were no indications that a game like that was going to occur, that he was going to get that kind of usage. I don't sit there and say, like, I'm an idiot for not starting him. You know, like, we have to trust our process and make the best decisions that we possibly can. And the best decision was to put him on the bench, see what happens, and then we can reevaluate. And we saw what we needed to see. 26 carries, 74% of the snaps, and he looked awesome. Looked awesome. He looked like 85% of in his prime Adrian Peterson, I would say. And that is enough for me. He did not see, I mean, he did not see any targets, but he showed like the ability to make jump cuts in the hole. He showed power in short yardage and in the open field. And I'm not looking to sell him in season long leagues. I'm going to hold on to a guy like this. He just looked too good to me. And the Rams have allowed the most fantasy points in the league to opposing running backs. Larry Fitzgerald goes off last week, got almost all of his production in the first quarter. The Cardinals wound up with only 22 pass attempts because they jumped out to that huge lead, and the Bucs did kind of rally back. But the Cardinals just kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half. So, again, Carson Palmer, he was the quarterback six, but did it on only 22 attempts. But that offense looked awesome. John Brown, I think, is a very good play this week. And we talked about him last week, how he played 80% of the snaps in week five. He was at 72% last week, three catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. I think he has the best matchup in the Cardinals pass catcher core this week. Larry Fitzgerald is going to go up against a Rams defense that has done very well covering the slot, held Doug Baldwin to 4 for 37, Cole Beasley to 3 for 17, Allen Hurns 3 for 37, Trent Taylor 3 for 32, Jamison Crowder 4 for 47, Kamar Aiken 1 for 3. So, look, I mean, I'm starting Larry Fitzgerald, but it's not at the confidence level that, you know, we've had in past games against Dallas and, you know, Tampa Bay and Philadelphia. So I would say that I'm a little bit concerned about Carson Palmer. And I mean, I'm a guy, I own him in a lot of leagues, and he's been really consistent, and he gave us a spiked week last week. But I'm a little bit concerned because according to Pro Football Focus's Scott Barrett, who we've had on the show before, the Cardinals have allowed the second highest pressure rate to opposing defenses, and the Rams have the second highest pressure rate in the league against opposing offenses. So, you know, we're going to London, and it's just, it's not a comfortable situation, I think, for Carson Palmer. I am going to be sticking with him in a couple of leagues, but in leagues where I can get Tyrod Taylor, I definitely would play Tyrod Taylor over him, and I may even play Brett Hundley over him this week. On the Rams side, so we talked now for multiple weeks about how the Cardinals are a pass funnel defense, and that has really paid a lot of dividends. I mean, Carson Wentz had a monster game against them. Matthew Stafford had a top 5 week against them. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes off the bench last week, and he finishes a top 5 quarterback on the week. So I think that this is a game for Jared Goff where, you know, he's had some tough matchups, so he's taken a step back in fantasy. I think he could pop back up for a big game. You know, the London games are never as predictable as, you know, as we would want, but the matchup is very good for him. The Cardinals do have a good run defense, holding opposing running backs at 3.3 yards per carry, the 10th fewest receiving yards to running backs in the league. But Todd Gurley, I mean, he's getting 24 touches a game, 128 total yards per game. So he's a dude to continue to rely on regardless of matchups. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Sammy Watkins, Tyler Higbee, you know, these guys all kind of cancel each other out. No one's really seeing heavy targets. I mean, the team leader in targets right now is Robert Woods, and he's only seeing 6 targets per game. So I think that just from a matchup standpoint, Cooper Kupp stands out. Patrick Peterson says he's going to play, missed about half of the game last week with a quad. He will be on Sammy Watkins for sure. And I think that Tyler Higbee in the middle of the field, we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick when he came in, the Cardinals were kind of in a little bit of a prevent defense, but the middle of the field was wide open against them. And Brait and Adam Humphreys ate in the middle of the field. And that's where Tyler Higbee and Cooper Kupp, I think, can do some damage. And that takes care of those teams.
I love it. All right. We got a couple more. How about the Jets and the Dolphins? I mean, the Jets have kind of a legitimate team. I mean, they're a decent team. Yeah. And the Dolphins somehow blocked it up. They ran the ball better, and they turned it on in the second half to beat the Falcons. The Dolphins, one of the worst 3-2 teams I've probably ever seen, but they're 3-2, and that's all that matters.
Man, I hadn't even looked at like records really recently, and I can't even believe they're 3-2. But that's amazing. Josh McCown, top 15 fantasy quarterback in 3 of his last 5 games. He was great last week against the Patriots. You know, we have been Josh McCown supporters for years, and he has a great matchup again this week. The Dolphins are a classic pass funnel, number 2 against the run, but 29th against the pass, according to Football Outsiders DVOA. Dolphins allowing the highest completion rate in the league to opposing passers. It really plays into the hands of Josh McCown, who his game right now is getting the ball out of his hands quickly and to Austin Seferian Jenkins. Josh McCown, Austin Seferian Jenkins, awesome stack in daily fantasy last week. Should have been bigger. That touchdown was pulled off the board, unfortunately. But keep going back to it. I mean, there is no reason to not go back to that in both season long and DFS. You know, the wide receivers, I haven't even looked at the Jets wide receivers yet. But, you know, on a week-to-week basis, it could go any which way. And so I don't, just at first glance, don't really have any confident or negative takes on them. For the Dolphins, the Dolphins, so they got their running game going last week in Atlanta, and that was really the big reason that they were able to pull off that upset. They dominated time of possession. They won time of possession by, like, almost 11 minutes in Atlanta, and the big reason was Jay Ajayi set a season high in rushing yards, 130 yards per carry, 5 flat. The Jets have given up the 5th most fantasy points to opposing running backs. I wish that Jay Ajayi could catch. He's dropped 3 of his 12 targets on the season, hasn't gained double-digit receiving yards in any of the Dolphins' first 5 games, but he's a guy that I'm looking at as a cash game play in daily fantasy this week. I think that he's the engine of this offense. The one concern that I have is the offensive line play. And Mike Pouncey, of course, suffered a concussion last week. And Mike Pouncey is one of the true difference-making offensive linemen in football. So I would certainly prefer Mike Pouncey to be out there, as opposed to not. The passing game, Jay Cutler, 13 straight games, hasn't reached 260 passing yards, hasn't been a top 15 fantasy quarterback at all this season. No thanks. If Devontae Parker is out again, Jarvis Landry should again be a monster. 14 targets last week, scored a touchdown. That's exactly what you want to see from him. Don't really have any interest in any of the other Dolphins pass catchers.
Got it. All right. Let's get to the last game here in part one. And it's an interesting one on a couple levels. It's the Ravens and it's the Vikings. Bridgewater is back practicing, but he's not playing this week or anytime soon. I haven't seen an update as of 12:30 Eastern here about Stephon Diggs. Have you seen anything on Diggs, Evan?
I have not, but I continue to have like great concern about Stephon Diggs because we saw what happened when he tried to play through a groin injury last year, and it wasn't pretty. So that's all that I've got on Stephon Diggs, unfortunately, which is very little, and it's just kind of pessimism, you know. So the Ravens last week, they really, and you were at the game, and I was watching it live. They really tried to feature Alex Collins early on, and he gave him a lot of great runs. But he winds up getting out-snapped 75% to 30% by Buck Allen. And Buck Allen was the guy in the game late in the game. And I also thought Buck Allen looked good. He looked quick, I mean, between the tackles. And he is their locked-in passing down back. And this is a Vikings defense that has held opposing RBs to 3.27 yards per carry. So, you know, Alex Collins can look as good as he wants. That doesn't really matter in fantasy because he's not helping you. He's not scoring touchdowns. He has 0 catches through 5 games as a Raven, 2 targets, 1 drop pass. Buck Allen is the RB to use in fantasy football. And that's not, you know, this is one of the situations where fantasy football is not like real life football. Alex Collins, I think, is a better interior runner than Buck Allen. And he may, you know, you could probably say that he's a better player. But Buck Allen is better than him in fantasy and will continue to be going forward. The Ravens' passing game is a complete train wreck, and the Vikings should be one of the best defense special teams plays on the board this week. Why don't we go with them as the DraftKings defense of the week?
Got it. All right. I like it.
All right. They are top 7 in interceptions. They are top 6 in sacks. They have held 5 straight opponents to 20 points or fewer in home games. So they check a lot of boxes. Joe Flacco has thrown at least one interception in 13 of his last 15 games, and he has multiple interceptions in 3 of his last 4. I think we can talk about Ben Watson as a streamer this week. He led the Ravens in targets last week with 8. He's caught at least 5 passes in 3 of the last 5 games. The Vikings, the one way to attack them is to go after them from a tight end standpoint. They've allowed the 12th most catches, 13-month fantasy points to tight ends. Chris Moore led the Ravens in receiving last week. Breshad Perriman gets blown up, suffers a concussion, doesn't come back in. Who knows if he'll play this week? Mike Wallace, he can pop up at times. He's like, he's a best ball player. He's not someone that you're really looking to play week to week, and certainly not against Xavier Rhodes. Don't know if Jeremy Maclin will be back. On the Vikings side, we talked a little bit about Stephon Diggs. The Ravens haven't been good in run defense. They may get Brandon Williams back this week, but who knows if he will be 100%. You want to keep betting on Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon has 43 touches over the past 2 weeks. Latavius Murray has been awful, 2.37 yards per carry. So I would expect Jerick McKinnon to even get more usage going forward. And no fear about this matchup, even if Brandon Williams plays, I think. I mean, this is a home game for the Vikings. Jerick McKinnon, spark freak athlete on the turf, want to tee him up for sure. No interest in Case Keenum outside of like 2 quarterback leagues. Adam Thielen is the guy to start in the Vikings pass catcher core. The matchup is not quite ideal, against the Ravens. I mean, they do have a pretty good defense, but we have seen them give up some pretty good games also to opposing slot receivers. You remember the one game that got people, myself included, excited about Rashard Higgins. He had like 7 for 95. He was playing in the slot against the Ravens, and that's where Adam Thielen is playing the outside receivers last week with Stephon Diggs out, where Michael Floyd and Laquon Treadwell. No thanks on either of those guys. Kyle Rudolph, tight ends have had some pretty big weeks against the Ravens, and his usage gets elevated because the Vikings' rushing offense is not what it was with Dalvin Cook. And also, if Stephon Diggs is out and or limited, Kyle Rudolph gets a bump. So that takes care of those teams.
Evan, you are on your game today, baby. I love it. I mentioned earlier, by the way, if you want a free Madden, how you can try to get that by entering yourself, downloading the SeatGeek app. If you like Madden, you like video games, Gamefly is the place. You pick your favorite games, and you have them mailed directly to your door. It's by far the leading video game rental service. They have over 9,000 titles to choose from. You can try your favorite games and movies before you actually go out and buy them. Keep the games as long as you want. That's the key to me. You never have to worry about late fees. You can cancel anytime. Just go to Gamefly.com/Eaton. I love it. E-A-T-I-N. No G for us. Evan came up with it. It was awesome. To start your free premium 30-day trial today, premium trial allows you to check out 2 games and or movies at a time. You can only get this offer, though, by visiting Gamefly.com/Eaton. Go sign up. Start playing your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days. Speaking of playing, if you're listening to this, you are playing fantasy football, and part 2 will be released after midnight tonight. After midnight. We're going to release part 2 of the Fantasy Feast. Well, Brian, maybe we should cut that. People are going to really make fun of me for that one. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This is all off the top of my head. Other than that, guys, we can't tell you how much it means to us when you give us the retweet. Sometimes it's like, oh no, that's going to show up in my feed. Oh, I don't want to bother other people. Come on, dude. Be an alpha male. Just retweet. Let your peeps see that your fantasy feast loud and proud, or a like on Facebook. People that are like so worried about liking something on Facebook or retweeting because they don't like to post stuff, that's no way to go through life. iTunes rankings and comments, we love those as well. Other than that, that was awesome, Evan. I'm stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.